Our discussion here on Smith Sabatino, at least at the beginning, was about art. And we're going to continue with that with an expert in the field. His name is Alexander Benisti. He was born in Algeria, military service with Israel. He's an art curator, an art dealer, an art expert in Baroque and other classical art forms. And we welcome Alexander Benisti to Smith Sabatino.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you for having
me on your show.
Alexander, thank you so much for joining us. I must say to all of our listeners out there, I know Alexander. He is both a good friend and someone who I have learned to respect in the course of the last years that I've known him, in his extraordinary appreciation for the remarkable world of art. I had the pleasure of looking at your extraordinary collection. And in that collection, as you know, I was absolutely stunned. And to use the vernacular of the day, it was a wow moment. And I could barely speak when I saw this extraordinary collection of which you have spent so many years putting together. However, today, Alexander, I would like to discuss the world of art today. Could you give us a very brief summation of how you see what's going on in the art world today?
Yes, sure. Well, as you know, I've been involved for a very long time in this business. Being in America as a French dealer, I'm going to put it this way, I've seen many things that I didn't believe I would see in my life. And this American market really opened my eyes to how people go about to make money, and how far they can go and how far they want to go to make any money regarding the art business, selling paintings or moving paintings around. What strikes me the most is that you have the auction houses that are leading the charge here, and they're racking up a huge amount of money on artwork that they sell at a certain name and certain attribution, and most of the time, after looking at them, that's not it. That's not true. And whatever they attributed, whatever they said was wrong, but they keep making the money. And to me, this is something that I barely understand anymore, and I see it as a vast monopoly that these companies are using and utilizing against the public and against collectors like myself and some other friends that I have in the world and around the world.
Are you saying, Alexander, that art is being hidden from the common man?
In general, it is. You know, the art business is for the big guys, the big money guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a very small amount of big collectors or so-called big collectors, and then you have all the others. Okay? The art business is being used as a financial tool more than anything else at this point. We are very far away from what it was at the beginning, which is the understanding and the history through art, through the conception of art. Today, it's about money, mainly, and nothing else. So you have, in one hand, you have the experts who are trying to keep their own monopoly on the knowledge and the certification of art. And here, then, you have the auction house who are making the biggest money possible on attribution that are not there.
I know that you have been, Alexander, a proponent of the science of understanding artwork, and you have done remarkably well in that regard. The science which says it is black and white, it is not your impression, it is what it is, whether you like it or not. Tell us a bit about the science, if you will, please, and your work in that area.
Yes, I mean, I myself, with people around me, we have put to test through the rigorous scientific test several of the paintings we have and we own. And it is clear that the science today is so advanced that we can see in a future with it. in the past with it, and eventually, sometimes in the future. I'm going to take one example of the paintings we put through the test. We went through what we call the science of the pigments on the paintings, on Old Masters paintings, Old Masters 17th century, 16th century, 15th century paintings, with the big names like Vermeer, like Rembrandt, Rubens, Jan Leventz, Ferdinand Bol. All these big masters have worked a lot in their studios with their, I'm going to say the word ouvrier, which is the people that were working for them at that time. And they left behind them a multitude of paintings. Some are well-known and in museums and agreed upon because of experts without using the science. And some are now being discovered because of the science. So pigmentization, for example, the science of the pigments, the scientists are going to look at it with electronic microscope. They are going to put them into electronic machines, and they are going to see where the pigments come from. And from there, we're going to go from X-ray, infrared, MRIs, and we discover many attributes to the painting that most of the experts with their own eyes cannot see. So to me, science will not lie to the public. Science is the future for the art world, especially for the old masters' paintings.
So in this day and age, Alexander, you're saying basically that science can authenticate whether a classical artist painted a particular painting or not. You can tell whether it's a forgery or not.
Absolutely. I swear by it. You know, a pigment doesn't lie. If you have on a painting, any painting, if you have a painting of the old masters, a 17th century painting, when the microscope and when the all these techniques are, and technologies are used on the painting, the pigments are the pigments. If the science says you have a 17th century pigment, it's not of the 18th century, it's not from the 15th century, it's from the 17th century, and that's what it is. The human eye cannot give us this appreciation, cannot give us this truth, okay? I'm from the old school. I always followed the experts for many years, for more than 20 years. I followed what the experts were saying. And I figured out suddenly that with the upcoming new technologies and the technologies that are being used today, that actually the same experts I believed all my life were wrong, or most of the time wrong. And I think that it is time really to show the public and tell the public what it is and what it is for. Science is the future for old masters' paintings and for any paintings in general. We will avoid forgery. We will avoid false attribution this way.
Alexander, I know that you are putting together a remarkable tour of some of your finest works, and they all are absolutely exceptional. You know how I feel about that. However,
they are.
You know that in order to get me not to talk and to sit there and stare at something is an art in itself. And you had me quiet for the 15, 20 minutes I was watching.
I would like to know how that can happen up here.
Roland.
You've got to look at his collection. However, and I was absolutely dead silent because I was amazed at what I was viewing. However, given the science, and we're going to carry you over, Alexander, into the next segment, okay, because this is something we must discuss. This is very important. The public, you are putting together a tour that will show the public these extraordinary works. And the effort that you put into for the public's interest, and I use the term in the public trust, because what you are trying to do is in the public trust, because the world should see these. They should not be closeted away by multimillionaires, and they will never be seen again. They will disappear, you see. And I know that you are very much prone to that, but we're going to talk a bit about your collection. Roland, do you want to get a question in now before we go to the next
section? Well, I do. Briefly, if you could give me four or five sentences, Alexander, how did you get into interest in the world of art?
Well, actually, it's passion. It's one word, really, passion.
Uh-huh.
My family was in the antique business when I was very young. I basically went into museums when I was a kid. I had two interests when I was a kid, is playing soccer and in the street and going to the museums and the galleries. And that carried me over to what I've been doing the rest of my life.
And where was this?
That was in a street of Marseille and Nice in the south of France.
Ah, okay. We've got about 30 seconds left here, Alexander, so please hold your thought. When you come back, I'd like to ask you whether classical art reflects on the mood of the world at the time it was painted. So you think about that particular question when we come back.
Alexander, please stay with us. This is called Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino on America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Got problems you want solved? Want an easy way to find the fix? Then you might want to try creative worrying. Here's the science of it. Creative worrying was one of Einstein's favorite tricks. It's a way to find a solution to just about any problem. Here's how. Think about your problem while you're shaving, walking, or playing golf, even sweeping the floor. Just run the facts of your problem in your head, but do not force an answer. Then consciously say to yourself, well, I'm going to put the problem in the back of my head and move on to other things. Your deeper brain will take over and look for an answer when you don't even expect it. What's the cheap psychological trick? By not forcing the issue, you'll receive an answer to your problem in a flash of insight. It worked for Einstein. You know what? It can work for you. Got a creative question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Recently in Florida, two 12-year-old girls hid in their elementary school until it was locked up for the day. The girls spent the night inside, snacking on food and playing with school computers until morning when they were arrested. On what charges? The Final Verdict after this.
You can turn $100 into $200 in just 1 hour. IamNotKidding.com. Double your money every day of your life. Visit IamNotKidding.com. IamNotKidding.com.
Order in the court.
No, not trespassing, because schools don't display no trespassing signs. The girls were charged with theft because they consumed food that didn't belong to them. And that's the final verdict.